Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. If I told you that one of the most joyful, connective, and creative chapters of retirement could begin with something as simple as a puzzle, you might raise an eyebrow. My guest today experienced that moment many of us aren't fully prepared for, when the kids leave, the house goes quiet, and suddenly you're face to face with a whole new version of daily life. What began as a way to fill the silence slowly turned into something much bigger, a shared passion, a creative outlet, and an unexpected way to reconnect, not just with her partner, but with an entire community. Along the way, puzzling became a doorway to learning new skills, embracing social media later in life, bringing strangers together, and even hosting puzzling events on cruise ships around the world. This is a conversation about curiosity, partnership, staying relevant, and discovering that play doesn't have an expiration date. Listen now to my conversation with Monica Marlatt. If I told you that after 40 years of marriage, raising three kids, and stepping into retirement, a couple discovered a brand new passion that not only filled the quiet of an empty house, but actually strengthened the relationship, you might assume yoga, pickleball, maybe ballroom dancing. But what if I told you it was puzzles? My guest today is someone who turned a surprisingly tender life transition, that moment when the kids leave and the house feels just a little too quiet. She turned that into a creative, joyful, and downright playful new chapter. What started as a simple way to stay busy became a shared adventure, a creative outlet, and eventually a whole new identity. Together with her husband, Monica's transformed puzzling into something social, imaginative, and deeply connective. From playful social media reels and city adventures to hosting puzzle events on cruise ships, we're going to talk about that, where strangers become teammates and memories are made one piece at a time. Her story is about partnership, curiosity, staying relevant, and saying yes to learning something completely new, even when life looks very different than it used to. Monica Marlatt, welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast, where we are embracing the journey.
Well, hello, and thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to spend some time and just chat with you.
Oh, I have all sorts of questions.
Okay, go.
I want your life, let's put it that way. But first of all, take us back to that early empty nest moment. What surprised you most about how quiet the house felt, and how did that shift your relationship with your husband day to day, if you don't mind me asking?
The emptiness nester, we all know it's coming. You know, the kids are preparing to go to university or college. We know it's coming. It's sort of like being pregnant. People can tell you when the baby finally comes, this is what your life is going to totally change and this is what's going to be like. You can read as many books, but we all know there's no way of preparing somebody for when that baby comes. You have to live and experience it. And that to me is the same as an empty nester. People tell you, oh, you're gonna love it. You'll be able to sleep in, you'll do your walks, you'll have your coffee with your girlfriend, you'll travel, you get to do all these things. That sounds wonderful. But you can't prepare for that. I had no idea how hard that would be. I was very blue. I was like, wow, I turned the corner. There's no makeup in the bathroom there. Like, you know, they took all their makeup. Oh, the shoes are missing. You know, you're reminded every single time you walk through your house that they're not there. So it was very hard. And I was like, girl, you got to get yourself out of this. My husband was still working at the time. My girlfriends were still working. It was me. And I just said, I have to do something. And I really sat down and thought, what did I do before we had kids? What was it that filled all that time? And I said, oh, well, I used to like swimming and I did jigsaw puzzling. So I started doing both. And yeah, I still like swimming and I swim every day and I'm happy. And I did a puzzle or two and I went, you know what? I really like puzzling. Like life just got busy and it gets put aside and you just stop. But I really liked it. So I started puzzling and I was happy and it filled the space. And I take a picture when I finished it and I sent it to my girls and everyone was very nice. And then at one point they're like, Mom, we have full-time jobs. We can't applaud every time you do a puzzle. I was like, oh, sorry. What should I do? And they're like, get an Instagram account. I don't even know what that is. Mom, Google it. And I was like, okay. So, there's this big thing that I had to learn, and I learned what Instagram was, and I liked it. Like, I felt, oh, I'm doing something on my own. I don't need my daughter here telling me or showing me, taking the phone out of my hand. Here, I'll do it for you. Like, I was actually learning something, and I felt, oh, this it's nice to learn again. And as we get older, it's very important that we don't stop learning. That was very good for me. So I started posting and started, having people follow me. And then we had the pandemic, and the pandemic changed everything. So that's sort of my little story. And I'm glad I got out of my funk with being an empty nester. Now it's just a lot easier, and I'm grateful that we have these puzzles. And then when my husband retired, it was sort of the same thing. I'm like, no, come and help me. Let's puzzle together. And it wasn't just puzzling. Like, we would, I got to a point where puzzling wasn't satisfying for me, because puzzles have evolved so much. They're beautiful. There's so many different illustrators out there now. They're absolutely gorgeous, different qualities. Like, take a moment and explore different brands. Just don't stick with one puzzle brand, is what I would like the takeaway to be for people. There's over 400 different puzzle brands now. Explore them. So I would look at a puzzle and I was like, gosh, that's so pretty. It's just going to break my heart to put it back in the box, because that's what we do. So I wanted to celebrate the puzzle a little bit more, and I got creative with it. I saw on Instagram people doing funny reels, doing stop motion. And I was like, I can do that. And again, I learned. I went on Google, I did tutorials on YouTube, and I learned all these apps, and I see some effect or transition. I was like, how did they do that? And I break it down. I may be slow, I may have to watch the tutorial 15 times, but I figured it out, and it filled my day. Do I call it a job? Maybe it's a job, but I really enjoy what I do. Like, no one's telling me how to do it. It's me. And, if I just want to post a picture of a puzzle, that's fine. But if I want to get creative, that's on me. And I love doing that. And then so my husband would help me with that. He'd help me build the puzzle. If we did deconstruction, like, I'm down on my hands and knees moving the puzzle piece by piece, and he's up above taking the photo. Like, if it was just me, that's hard work. We like, if we have a really, let's say we have a train puzzle. Well, I'm in Toronto, and outside my door is a Roundhouse Park where the railway museum is. I was like, that would be a nice shot of me holding the puzzle beside this train. So we like taking our puzzles to location shoots, like art installations somewhere around the city. Gives us an opportunity to reconnect. Because when did you last walk with your husband? We go out for walks all the time. He's like, hey, it's a nice day. Let's go for a walk and explore the city and see if we can find any new art installations that we can take a puzzle to. So I've really embraced and appreciate that time that we are together again, because when we did have our children, we had a wonderful relationship, a great family. But you do your own thing. He's working, I'm working. Now all of a sudden we're together 24/7. You have to get to know your partner again, and you may have some different, you're not the same people you were when you first got married. So you have to relearn and reconnect. So the puzzling has definitely brought us together, and I'm just like, wow, we're pretty lucky. We're very blessed that we've been able to work through this, because I do think with my friends, a lot of them have a hard time to adjusting having their spouse with them again all the time. And I go, yeah, it is tough. I just feel that we're very blessed that this has helped us build upon our relationship. And I'll just segue a little bit more. My puzzling experience, or reputation, let's just say, has grown in that we are now doing puzzling sessions on a cruise ship. We used to, we sometimes we go out. Like, I've gone to after school program taking my puzzles. I love connecting with children. We've done pubs where we've taken our puzzles, and just for a date night thing where, our puzzles are there. We're always exploring new places that we can take our puzzles. But now we're taking our puzzles on cruise ships, and we're like, this is pretty cool. Who would have thought?
So Your husband retired. Now, puzzling had always been something yours. Was he quite gung-ho of like, oh yeah, no, that sounds pretty cool? Or did you have
No,
to
he wasn't. We have definitely different puzzling styles. We process the whole building proj the project of building a puzzle. We process it differently. And again, doing these puzzling events, I see so many people how they puzzle differently. And my husband and I definitely, we do it differently. I absolutely love doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. My husband is older. He's 75 years old. The regular size pieces, they're small for him. He's like, I can't see this. And he's holding it up close, or he doesn't like the piece count, or it's just too overwhelming seeing 1,000 pieces on the board. He gravitates to smaller puzzles, like a 300 or a 500-piece puzzle. There are often bigger pieces for him as well. So he may just work on a project by himself, and then that's a puzzle. We'll go together and try and find a, I'll call it a location shoot to see where we can take a picture with it, or I might help him. He does help me a little bit with the 1,000-piece project. It just depends. Maybe like 3 times a week we'll puzzle together, but the rest of the time we puzzle independently, just because I want more of a challenge and I don't want him to be frustrated. You mentioned that don't do a puzzle that frustrates you. Like when I do my puzzling sessions on the cruise ship, I spend a lot of time talking to each individual person to understand their puzzling level, their skills. It would be awful for me to give them a hard puzzle. They don't finish it. We have 2 hours on a cruise ship to build a puzzle, and they don't finish. They're frustrated. They don't come back. I want to make sure that they're happy, they're satisfied, and they come back. So it's important to understand we all have different skills and there are different puzzles. There's a puzzle for everybody.
I will interject here just because that was part of our pre-chat before we started, before I clicked record. For listeners, I was telling Monica about a puzzle that I have had for years and years, probably 20 years. I have tried a couple of times and I just get ticked off and throw it back in the box. It's a big, huge circle. So it's about 16 inches across, or maybe even 18. It's a big circle, and which means the puzzle pieces go in a circle, and it's just shades of blue. That's all it is. There's no design, there's no picture, shades of blue. Okay, so back to your puzzles. How do you put them together so that you can take them? Like, I've seen them where you're holding them up. How do you do that without them falling apart?
Well, we do have drama.
Uh-oh.
We do have tragedies where they fall apart and I don't get the picture. But in general, if the puzzle is pick upable, understand 20 years ago, it wasn't a thing that puzzles got picked up. It is a
No.
trending thing now that people want to pick up the puzzle. They do the quick pickup scoop and hold it up. Like if you look on YouTube or on Instagram, it's very trending. I do it sometimes, but puzzle brands now have changed their manufacturer so their puzzles can be pick upable. Some people rate puzzles now on the quality as if they can be picked up. That wasn't a thing 20 years ago. We built the puzzle, you put it back in the box, but now it's important that it's a firmer fit. So a lot of puzzles, you can do that quite easily. There are puzzles that are cheaper, and because they're cheaper, they don't fit as well together. They're loosey-goosey. They may not be good ones to take to a location shoot. So I don't do every puzzle. Some that I really like and I feel I have a great location shoot and they're too loosey-goosey, I might put tape on the backing. Usually we have a foam board and we put it on a foam board and I can hold it up with the foam board behind it and it will hold and that's how we take the picture. But I've learned that was trial and error.
Okay, yeah, because I remember going back, I don't know, like I'm aging myself, dating myself here, but 30, 40 years ago, where you'd see like a beautiful puzzle up on the wall, and I don't know if they varnished it or put a plastic coating over it or something, but you know, that was that many years ago, which probably meant you couldn't just pick it up. And as I say, it did have some sort of a coating on it in a
It's
frame, but
podgy glue. They put the podgy coating
oh, is that
over
hot?
it.
Is that hodgepodge? Is that what
Yeah,
that's called?
hodgepodge. Yeah,
Okay,
that's what
okay.
they do. And then other people, like there are a puzzle, they're not, it's a puzzle brand, but puzzle accessories, where they specifically just do framing on puzzles. So they're very delicate and they have a mat and it holds together. So that's what people do for those framed puzzles.
Okay. Now, you said you and your husband have different puzzling techniques. Was there anything about watching him puzzle that was sort of a, oh, I've been married to you for 40 years and I didn't realize that about you?
I will tell you, I tell everyone this because to this day it still happens. So
Oh,
the
good.
majority of people will always do edges first. You pull out the puzzle, you turn them over, and you pull out all the edges, and you put them aside, and you will do the edges first. I puzzle that way. My husband puzzles that way. And for like 3, 4 years, when I really started to do the puzzling, I would do my own sorting, and I pull out the edges. There has never, ever been a time that I have pulled out every edge. I
I was gonna
miss
say
them.
there's always
I do it slow. I'm methodical. I always miss, and it's not one. I miss like five. And I was like, it can't be me. There's just no way. I was really slow. I was really thinking about it. I have never, ever got all the flat edges in one go. My husband does it every single time.
Oh,
I was like,
jeez.
how do you do that? And he sorts fast. I go, that is our brain. Like you, I'm so impressed with how he does that. So now I'm always just like, can you sort the flat edges for me? Can you pull them out for me? And he's happy to do that for me on a 1,000-piece puzzle so I can get started on that. But I look at him, I go, you never miss a piece. Once in a blue moon, he misses one piece. I go, oh, you missed the flat edge. And I try and give him a dig, and he just sort of smirks at me. He goes, still better than you. I go, yes, you are. So that was an aha moment when I saw that him. I go, wow, we really do puzzle differently. And you would, I never knew that. Like when we sort, he goes by colors, I go by patterns. And just looking at that, and again, when we do our puzzling sessions, I see so many different skills how people do that. I saw a couple puzzling. They don't go, oh, I'll do the blue sky and you do the sailboat. Oh, no. You do the right side of the puzzle. I'll do the left side of the puzzle. I go, what? And they go, well, that way we meet in the middle and we're not crossing our hands over one another. I was like, that's really smart because my husband complains about that all the time, that we're crossing over each other. I was like, oh, like people puzzle differently.
Yeah, I can remember having a friend visit, and my dining room table is relatively narrow. So instead of sitting side by side, I sat on the back side. And so then I'm operating upside down. And it was like, okay. But once my brain adapted to upside down, if she was off somewhere and I thought, oh, I'll just find a few pieces, it was like, okay, this looks wrong. Because I'd be on her side of the table. So it was, yeah. But, all the different
Well, that's
ways.
true. There's someone else that I know that can her the so another trending thing in the puzzle community is speed puzzling. So people race each other. Everyone, you'll go to a bar and let's say there's 20 teens. Everyone gets the same puzzle, timer on, go. And within like an hour and a half, they'll have it done. That is the event. And there's a puzzle influencer that I know, and she goes, oh, I contribute to the team because I can puzzle upside down. And I looked at her and go, I never even thought about puzzling upside down. And as you said, sometimes I'm on the opposite side of the table. I go, this is hard. Like, I can't adapt.
Isn't that interesting? Boy, I'm gonna have a whole bunch of questions for you every time
Oh,
you open your
dear.
mouth. You just give me more stuff here. But at what point in time did you realize this was going to be more than just a hobby? Like, you've talked about all the different things you do now, the pubs and the cruise ships and stuff.
Sort of two parts to that. I guess during the pandemic. So the pandemic was very interesting because puzzles popped. They boomed. People lost their jobs. We had to stay at home. What do? You start puzzling. I had my Instagram account already, so I have a following, and it just grew and grew over the pandemic. So puzzle brands, you had some big brands well established. They were fine. But some people lost their jobs and they're like, what can I do? Puzzles are trending. They took their little nest egg and they started a boutique puzzle brand. Maybe they had five brands, the puzzles that they had. Problem was they couldn't put them on a store shelf. First of all, they were too small and the stores were closed. So how do they get their puzzles out to somebody that wants to puzzle? So during the pandemic, the beginning of the pandemic is when I noticed my influence, because I'd have one or two puzzle brands reach out to me and say, "Can we send you a puzzle? Would you build it and post it?" I was like, "You're going to send me a free puzzle? Okay, fine. I don't make money. I really don't make money, but I do get free puzzles sent to me. And let's be real, I almost make a puzzle a day. A puzzle is anywhere from $20, and if it's a wood puzzle, to $150. So I just keep thinking, I'm getting free puzzles and I'm not spending my money. So I'm quite happy to receive that puzzle. I'd be posting about it anyway, as long as it's a nice puzzle. If it's a really badly made puzzle, I won't do it. But in general, I'd be happy to do that. So puzzle brands were reaching out to people like myself and saying, "Hey, we'll send you some puzzles." So the first two, three brands that sent it to me, I was like, "Whoa, this is pretty good." But then I got a lot of brands because the other brands were starting to do this. This is how they marketed themselves. And they wouldn't send you one puzzle, they would send you all of their puzzles. So then I felt obligated to build all their puzzles. So my hobby became work. And my husband was there, "You're working too hard. Like, you liked puzzling. Now you're feeling very rushed to get through a puzzle
Pressured,
and
yeah.
pressured. I'm concerned, like, you're not posting these puzzles in a manly, a timely manner for these brands. They send it to you, and I would say my to-do pile is 20 puzzles high. It's going to take me about 2 months before you'll see a post. Are you okay with that?" So I had to dig deep and decide what I wanted out of this. Like, yes, I like puzzling. Of course, I like receiving free puzzles, but this was getting too much now. So now I sort of vet a puzzle brand a little bit more. I will decline sending the whole collection. Like, give me one or two. I'm fine with that. I will reach out to you if I want some more. And that's toned it down, and now I can slow
Okay.
down again. So that's the two parts to that question.
Okay, now you mentioned wooden puzzles. I wanted to go there for just a moment because I was house sitting last summer and there was a kiwi bird wooden puzzle set up on the table. And of course, I knocked it over and I panicked because I thought it had to go back together a certain way. I'd never seen that sort of stacking puzzle before.
The 3D, are we talking a 3D puzzle?
Yeah, and it went
Okay.
up. Well, I
Okay.
guess it could go anything you wanted. My daughters had been over because we'd been doing like a family thing, and I said, "Do you remember how that thing went together?" And then I Googled it, and sure enough, there was like 15 different ways to put it together. And then my grandson came over, and he invented a few more. So it was really a creative piece. Like there was no like a flat on the table puzzle has to be put together the way it's put together. Whereas this wooden puzzle, I mean, it ended up being a lot of fun after my initial panic, because yeah, you could do all sorts of interesting things with it. What's your experience with wooden puzzles?
I love wooden puzzles. They are amazing. It's just because a jigsaw puzzle originally was made out of wood. Now a puzzle is made out of cardboard, generally. Okay, there's different materials. It could be acrylic, could be plastic, but in general, it's a cardboard. So it was the pandemic again, where some people, they were hobbyists. They are like, "What can we do?" And we had a lot more wood puzzle brands come out. Depending on the wood that they use, some are very thin, some are very thick. It's a completely different puzzle experience. I like to treat myself, I'll say on a Sunday, big pot of tea. I sit there, it'll take me about 2 hours, and I complete it. I immerse myself into the experience. I love it. It's very different from a regular jigsaw. It's very expensive. They're on average about $100. That being said, there are a lot of knockoff brands, especially in China. They're cheaper. It's cheaper wood. It's a little bit of a different experience. It's affordable for people. I don't want to sit here and go, "Oh, you have to do a wood puzzle. Are you prepared to spend $120 on a wood puzzle?" Probably not. That's a big investment. So there is a place for these cheaper puzzles. When I do the cruising, I bring about 200 puzzles with us. Like, our suitcases are packed. You're going to ask, how do you do that? We don't bring the packaging. I repackage everything. The insert is photocopied, it's laminated, the information is on a label on the back. The puzzle itself is put in a Ziploc bag. The label matches the label on the insert, and that's how we do it. So I'm able to bring so many more. But I bring 30, maybe 50 different puzzle brands, because I'll have somebody come in and say, I only do this brand. Okay, this is the brand you like. Here you go. Maybe by the third day, they're looking over their shoulder and they're seeing what other people are doing. Well, that one looks really nice. I've never done a shaped puzzle before. I've never done a round puzzle before. What is that wood puzzle? Why didn't you give me that? I said, because you said you only wanted to do this brand, and I'm not going to argue with you. If that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. If you would allow me to introduce you to something else, and they're like, yes, I would. So I said, let's try a wood puzzle. That's where puzzles originated from. They're like, oh, never done a wood puzzle. So I have a standard brand that I give them, and they're 100 pieces, and they're a little bit bigger. It's a wonderful experience. They have whimsies. What's a whimsy? They're special cutout pieces. So let's say it's a harbor with sailboats. They have about 10 or 12 special pieces that are a sailboat, a seagull, a captain's hat, specific cutouts for that image. So let's say it's a gardening shed. Now I have flowers, I have a trowel, I have a pail. So they're very neat to discover when you're building that wood puzzle. I don't think I've ever had anyone build one of those puzzles and go, I hate it. They come back the next day, I want one of those again. So they'll build two or three of those 100-piece puzzles. I go, you know what, you're pretty good. Let's move on to another wood puzzle brand, or something more challenging. I've been watching you and I know you can handle this. So I'm like, oh, really? So I'll give them a harder one, and we just move up, and they're just like, oh my God, I had no idea. Wood puzzles are great for gifts. Over the holidays, I saw so many feeds that made me very, very happy on my Instagram account about people carrying on with a Christmas tradition where they build a puzzle together while the turkey's in the oven. In between, they're working on a puzzle. It's left out, and people can contribute during their weekend together, the few days together, and they complete a puzzle. Dozens and dozens of people were doing this. It made me so happy to see people puzzling together. It should not be considered isolated. It is a very social thing. I can see wood puzzles as a wonderful gift, and that's a fun thing to do over the holidays, doing a wood puzzle together as a family. I love them, but as I said, I get mine sent to me. It's not fair to somebody to invest so much money. You have to see what your budget is.
As you say that, I remember when my kids were still home, and invariably we'd have extended family come to visit for Christmas. And so I would buy the biggest puzzle I could find, 1,000, 2,000, even up to 3,000. We would use the dining room table because by the time you put the heat pad on the table and a tablecloth, the puzzle's fine. It lies flat. And the heat pad is thick enough that
That's
nothing
great.
tips over. So yeah, it was just this tradition. It was really good fun. Now, I'm telling you all my puzzle experiences, but that's okay. I found another puzzle. It was at the thrift store, which is maybe somebody threw it there out of disgust. It was what are they called? A colony of penguins. So it wasn't all that
God,
big.
okay. Oh.
It was a colony of penguins. On the other side, it was the exact same picture turned 90 degrees. Now, I gave it to my daughter and grandson because I wasn't going to tackle it. I know my limits. And they are just get this was months ago, and I think now they're just getting to the stage where they say, we're going to have to do this puzzle. What is the hardest puzzle that you can remember doing?
Hardest puzzle. I think I've probably put five back in the box. Not that I specifically remember them, but I was just like, no, I'm not having fun. And it was my sister that said to me, after 15 minutes, if you can't place a piece, it's not fun. And I use that as a cue. if you're not placing at least one every 15 minutes, it's a really hard puzzle. If you like that challenge, go for it. But puzzling to me is just relaxing and calming. Now I'm not feeling that anymore. Same when we talk about speed puzzling. If you're a competitive person and that's what you like, I don't like speed puzzling. Like I'm stressed. I'm sweaty. I'm racing. Well, the fun just got sucked out of me doing this race against some
It's like a
against.
final exam, isn't
It's like
it?
what are we doing here? But people really like that. Again on my social media feed on Instagram, I love liking people and they're showing me their time and you see how they're it took them 2 hours last time. They do the puzzle again, now it's an hour and a half. They do a puzzle a
Oh.
third time, now it's an hour. I'm applauding them and or they're saying they're going to nationals. I'm like, girl, you have a great time and you're going to meet so many nice people. It's going to be a lot of fun. I applaud people doing that, but that's not my thing.
Okay, let's talk about this community because I mean you're blowing me away here with like going down to the pub and they've got competitions, nationals, like
Speed puzzling, it is so I don't know where it started, but in the States, you'll do it in your state, and some people will travel from state to state. So I know a puzzle brand, they do it weekly. They have a pickleball court and they rent it out on a Wednesday night and they bring their tables. I think they get 30 tables, like 30 teams every Wednesday night. So people love it. You would pay for your team. Let's say it's $30 for your team. It could be more, could be less. Your team pays $30 and you walk away with that puzzle. You get to keep the puzzle and you race against other people. It's very social. It's very fun. People are extremely competitive. And then you have nationals, state champions, nationals. And then there's global. In Spain is where they have the world jigsaw puzzling, speed puzzling. And people come from all over the world to race each other. It's like, what can I say, like a sky dome tent, like a really big indoor tennis field that they have. And you can compete as an individual, as pairs, and as a team. And it's huge. It's just huge. Like if you follow people, puzzle influencers, some of them on their profile will say, I am the world jigsaw puzzling champion in my age group, maybe because they do have a senior age group, but
Okay.
some not. They'll tell you if they won nationals. I was like, wow, I embrace people doing that. I applaud them, but not my thing. But it's huge. And I'll just segue a little bit from that. It's so huge now that puzzle brands are rethinking their images. So there's I will call myself the casual puzzler. You're a casual puzzler. We like to do nice puzzles, beautiful puzzles. The speed puzzler, they may not like those images just because they're not. They don't translate into speed puzzling. They're looking for something that has bold sorting options. Like there's bold reds. There's a pattern of a quilt here. Something that you can make five piles, and on your team, you're sorting it quickly. And I'm working on the quilt. I'm working on the red barn. And you work those little projects, and then you bring them together, and you piece your puzzle together, and boom, you're done. So brands are now thinking, well, I want my puzzle to be in this tournament. I want to sponsor that tournament. So you have to have an image that is conducive to the speed puzzlers. That's how big it is.
Holy moly. So if someone's sitting out there going, oh yeah, like I want to do this, what do they Google? Like speed
Oh,
pu
you can go jigsaw speed puzzling.
and then
It
your
the
city or something.
Yeah, you can do that in your city. I will just say the algorithm follows us everywhere. So if you're on YouTube, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Instagram, and I'm on Instagram, I'm called Puzzled About Everything. But if you want to do speed puzzling in your Explorer, go speed puzzling. All right. Now all of a sudden you'll see all these different feeds from different
Okay.
people. And if you're watching them, the algorithm is listening. Okay, next time you hit explore, guess what's going to be in your feed? It's going to be more speed puzzling. And you could quite easily could see somebody come up over and over again and go, oh, like Jill, I've seen her in some other feeds. You might follow her. you follow her, Jill might be very nice because it is a beautiful, the puzzle community, they're beautiful people, okay? You can DM Jill. Jill, I'm new to this. I'm watching you speed puzzling. Do you have any advice for me? Where can I go? You can Google it. You can go on AI. We had a conversation about AI. AI will tell you where it is in your town. You say, I live in Portland. We're speed puzzling, and it will tell you who hosts speed puzzling events, or just even be more generic, what is speed puzzling? Like, what are the different levels about speed puzzling? It is all available. You don't have to be specific about anything. The algorithm will find you.
Okay, so you've just explained, thank you kindly, that you and I are casual puzzlers.
I think so.
I'm not interested in speed puzzling either. The pressure would be too much. I have one of those big, huge boards that folds open so that you can, move your puzzle if you need to close down for the evening or something. Is there such a thing? Are there social groups where you can just go and puzzle your own puzzle or puzzle with a couple of people more casually? There's no pressure. It's just a social thing.
You're going to love my answer.
Oh, good.
So on Instagram again, there are community groups. So who is it? I think in New York, I follow a group, New York Puzzlers, and they casually get together twice a month at I don't know, some community at a bar or something like that, and they puzzle casually. I think it's the coolest thing. I keep wanting to time my visit to New York so I could drop by because I like I love this idea. But you can go again, ask AI, is there a social puzzling group? My best advice again on Instagram, there are online puzzling groups. So what they do, you're following someone and we're going to go, this month's puzzle along theme is cats. So we're all doing cats. And you join that group and people, chime in. Oh, I'm doing this one from this brand. Oh, I'm doing this one from this brand. This is a brand new cat release from this brand. And they chat and they post and then they tag whatever that special tag is. So there's an accountability so everyone can see everybody else's work. It's huge. And then often they, just like we're doing online, this Zoom call, they do, there's a big group and they visually see each other, but that's what came out of the pandemic. And because we're all over the world, I have puzzle friends all over the world now. They keep in touch with each other online, doing these chat groups. I was like, this is great. This is really great. And again, I come back, puzzling doesn't need to be isolated. There, you can puzzle with your friends, your partner, your family. There's a huge online community as well.
So, as you were talking, it also occurred to me that if I didn't have enough monitors here already, I was going to open up and see. I wonder if Meetup would
They do meet
have.
up. So you talked about buying a puzzle at a thrift store. I love that people just don't throw them out, that they end up being reused. I think puzzles shouldn't be on a shelf. They should be built and rebuilt and rebuilt. Frustrating. It's hit and miss with a thrift store. Sometimes they're missing pieces, sometimes they're not. So it's a little bit of a gamble. But what the puzzle community has established now, there are puzzle swaps. So let's say you have five puzzles. You've built them all, they're just sitting there. Facebook is good. You would go puzzle swap group or puzzle group. I'm in Toronto, puzzle group Toronto. And there's my Facebook group. And you can do swaps
Oh,
right
wow.
there. You post, I have finished this puzzle. Who wants to trade me? Show me what you have. And let's meet up at Union Station. That happens. There's no money exchange. You're just swapping puzzles. Then they have bigger meetups in that we're doing a parking lot swap. So you come with your car, your puzzles are in the
Oh, wow,
trunk, you
okay.
pop your trunk, it's from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. You walk around the parking lot and you see other people's puzzles and you're like, I've got this one in my trunk, would you trade for this? They do it monthly. My daughter lives in California, San Mateo. One day I'm going to hit one of their swaps because I keep looking at pictures on Instagram. What a group. They must have 30, 40 people coming. And they all bring like 40, 50 puzzles. I was like, this is amazing. So I may get my puzzles free. I don't want anyone to feel that you have to keep buying puzzles because there's all these other ways to get puzzles with the swaps or thrifting.
This is blowing me away. I've been doing puzzles for as long as I can remember, and I didn't know any of this. I will say briefly about thrift shop puzzles. I'm the person that if I put together a thrift shop puzzle and there are a few people or a few pieces missing, I will actually take the box lid. I'll put a circle around wherever it's missing, and I'll write missing piece, so that the next person can make that
Sure.
decision of it's I like the puzzle. I don't care if it's missing a piece or two.
There you go.
But So that's my contribution to the puzzling world.
That's very kind.
This is just blowing me away. I just want to put this whole thing on pause and go Google things now. Let's talk these cruise ships. Where did that start? How did that start? Do you get to cruise for free?
I do get, mind you, the question is, where? I'm on the bottom, right? We're on deck two or deck three, and it's an inside cabin. Okay, that's what we get. But I do get to cruise, so we're quite happy, my
But you only
husband and
have to
I.
sleep there.
There you go. Some people don't like that. I know when we do cruise, I like the balcony. Again, the fear of the pandemic, being trapped in your room. So that's always in the ways in the back of my mind. Again, I'm grateful. I'm okay with the cabin they give me. We've always been cruisers. We've always cruised. That's our vacation. We took our families. I guess we started doing pub events. We don't do too many pub events now, but we really liked the energy of seeing getting people together doing the puzzling. We were on a cruise. I often bring a puzzle on a sea day, and I'll sit in the solarium and I'll put my puzzle together, and people would stop. What a great idea. Can I help you? And we chat and they help and we finish the puzzle, end of story. I thought one time, I said to my husband, you know what? We should do what we do at the pub on a cruise ship. I think it would be very popular. That's how the idea came. It took a long time to pitch my idea. I work with Royal Caribbean. Honestly, it took over 2 years. All right. I always had to put my name out there. I'm grateful for the relationship that I have with Royal Caribbean. We've done about 10 cruises now. My next one will be in March. My cruises with Royal Caribbean, they are specific in that it has to be a longer cruise, in that there are 8, 9, 10 sea days. You're helping filling the gap with all those sea days. It's not going to be a Caribbean cruise where every day you're at a different port. People vacation. They want to get off. They want to go on the beach. They want to sightsee. They don't want a puzzle. But when you're stuck on a cruise ship for 8, 10 days, that's where we come in. We're enrichment speakers, not that we speak. We're an enrichment activity. And I bring my 200 puzzles. It's worked out wonderfully. We started doing speed puzzling. That was my pitch. Speed puzzling was just starting to take off. The crowd didn't like it. They would do it, and when someone said done, hands up in there, and they were done, you could hear the sigh in the room. Everyone going, oh, good. Now can we just puzzle for fun? It's an older crowd. They don't want this competition, so I adapted, which was also good for me. If I had 6 sea days and I have 30 teams and they're all doing the same puzzles, I couldn't bring a big variety of puzzles. Now that I don't have to bring repeat puzzles, I have a bigger selection. The people that come to our puzzling events, it's not limited to retired people. Like the cruises that we do, honestly, the majority, I'm going to say 70% are retired people, just because who can afford time off work for 2 weeks with 10 sea days going from Australia back to the States? Like they work, they do the week cruises. These cruises are transatlantic, repositioning, just because they're longer ones. But we do get a mix of people. It's not just ages, it's also culture. Puzzling isn't limited to your language. I can get somebody from Mexico and they don't speak any English, but they know what a puzzle is, and I can show them that's 1,000 pieces. Are you okay? And they'll do thumbs up. Off you go. There, we don't have any language barriers, which is great because often there are different people from different parts of the world that don't understand. They miss out on the entertainment or the announcements that are going on because it is all English. So this is a good thing. Age-wise, I love it. I will bring a 15-piece, that's a very small puzzle, a wood puzzle, just for the child that's 4 years old. All right, the family's doing a group project, maybe it's a 300-piece project, and the toddler's there. And I go, I have a small puzzle for them. Believe it, that puzzle will be rebuilt by someone who's 85 years old who has arthritis and has glaucoma and really can't see, and they're thrilled that they can do a puzzle. So my puzzles, like I said, I bring a big variety, so there's something for everybody. I have a few people that like to do speed puzzling. I bring duplicates here. You can race against your partner. Here you go. But you're not racing against the room, and that works for them. I have people that are really good. Oh, I don't want to do a 300. I want to do a 500 piece. I need some. I'm really good. Here you go. I bring something for everybody. And I like that I listen to everyone to make sure that they are successful at the end of our puzzling session, which is usually about 2 hours, that they complete the puzzle and they're grateful that they have such choices there.
I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. You said it took about 2 years to convince Royal Caribbean. Was that because they get so many applications, or did you have to prove that puzzling was a thing?
Both,
Okay.
absolutely both. I would go on. So I've had people ask me, oh, well, I do origami. There's something. I'm really good at origami. I started just to bring my puzzles, a lot of puzzles. I think I brought 50 puzzles, and I'd be pitching on to whoever was the cruise director. Let me do a session. Let me show you. And it just took that long. Going through the doors and admin and filling out the forms as an applicant, that it didn't go anywhere for me. I don't want anyone to be discouraged because it does work for a lot of people. My idea was so new, and I'm going to segue somewhere else because I do have a lot of people saying, "Oh, I used to be a detective, and I think I can contribute some seminars here." And I have lots of stories to share. Go through an agent. I do have an agent, but they have a hard time pitching me again because it's such a new idea.
Right.
I think I fall in the category where you have paint night. You know how you have paint date night? They have that on some cruise ships. I fall into that activity, but mostly it's speakers. So they have an agent. The agent pitches them. The cruise line will go, yes, we'd like to do that. Let's say you're a retired sportscaster. I'm sure you have lots of stories. And they would love to have you on board. Go through an agent, fill out your profile, and quite possibly a cruise line will pick you up. It's great. We talk about our age group. What do we do when we're retired? Get past this empty nest syndrome. If there's something that you're passionate about, find something. You can do a pub. You can do, like, tonight we're doing what's it called? Sip and Savor. We're doing, oh, we get a glass of wine and a lecturer's coming in and he's just going to talk about the brain, how we restimulate our brain. I think that's fun. There's a lecturer finding something to do. Find whatever your passion is and just reach out. If again, let's say you like Lego, you can bring your Lego to after school programs or even to a senior center and share your Lego and build things with it. There's lots of opportunities for people to explore and don't be afraid.
Ah, that's great. Yeah, because I've actually said to a few people, like I've got one friend who's a fairly high level fitness instructor, and she loves to cruise and go out and like to exotic places. And I said, like, why don't you apply to them, you know, because I'm sure you'd be able to get hired sooner or later. Now, tell me about, I don't know what it's called, the interaction. What happens when, like, especially in the early days when you were just sitting alone doing a puzzle, and complete strangers would come up and say, ooh, can I help? Like that's got to be a bonding thing. What do you see in your puzzle nights now that you've got more and more people where complete strangers are coming together and doing something that they have in common?
I love it. I feel my role now is I'm the connector. I'm the connector from a puzzle brand because I have so many puzzle brand relationships. and with the puzzler. They don't know there's all there these other brands there. So I am that connector that bring them together. I'm also that connector for on the cruise is the best example. Someone will come down. Usually we're in the dining room. It has good light and we have nice big tables. Oh, I saw this on the compass. I didn't know what it was. I'm just investigating. I'm like, investigate, go ahead. Oh, I haven't built a puzzle in 20 years. I totally understand that. Oh, okay. Give me a little one. So I give them a little one and then they finish. That was quite fun. I think I'll come down tomorrow and I'll bring my partner. Absolutely. Now they bring their partner down and they're chatting away for the 2 hours. I can tell you at the end of our cruises, I have at least half the room come up and say, I forgot I liked puzzling. I can relate because I forgot I liked puzzling. And be it an individual or a family, the families are the best because it just warms my heart when I see them spending quality time, a father and the mother and their two children, and they are all working on a puzzle together. The kids are excited. Dad's not on the phone. Mom is present. It's just amazing. They're not put into the daycare or the children's program on the ship. They are actually doing something. It's not as if mom is sunbathing, dad's in the water with the one kid, and they are doing something to, it warms my heart. When the cruise is over, I've had so many people go, I'm going to do a puzzle once a month, or the father will go, this was amazing. We're going to do this on Friday nights with our kids. Like if it's once a week or once a month, we just didn't know how fun this was. It doesn't matter the age because as the children get older, your puzzling abilities will get better and you can do bigger projects. And if you have a space, a dining room, and you can leave the project out, when they come home from university, it's still there for you to work on. I hear so many people when they come home from university, I'm spending time with my dad and we've been working on this project for 6 months. We're going to get it done. It's beautiful that people are actually spending time interacting together. That is my takeaway. That's what makes me so happy with the puzzling.
I've just moved into my current abode, and I spotted a puzzle on the sideboard, and so I got it out because it's like in the evenings I need something to do, and it was a puzzle I'd never seen before. Insofar as one end of the, it's a really nice picture. One end of the puzzle, the pieces are quite large, and
Family style.
the other side they're small, like most adults would prefer, and I thought, what a piece of genius that is, you know, because the younger kids can work at one end, parents can work at the other with the smaller, harder to put together bits.
I bring about two or three of those on the cruise again for that reason. And you know, the parents are blown away. And it's not even parents, it's friends. I don't limit it to a family because they're, let's just talk about Christmas time and grandma comes. Grandma can't see very well anymore. All right. Grandma gets put in the corner. Oh, grandma's fine sitting there. She can't keep up with the conversation. That family style puzzle is perfect for grandma because she can sort those extra big pieces and feel that she's contributing towards the puzzle where everyone else is working on the smaller pieces. In the middle, they're a little bit larger and you meet in the middle. Those family styles, they're underrated. I'm always, you know, pitching them. I go, have you seen these type of puzzles? There's a few brands that do them. And they're, no, we haven't. And again, people go, I'm buying one of those when we get home so that we can continue with this. And someone had a great idea.
As I said, I'd never seen it before. That's amazing. What haven't we talked about that you would like mid-age women to think about? In whether it's the puzzle department or the retirement department.
I like the retirement department because I felt with I have three grown children, daughters, and sometimes when we get together, it is hard to keep up with the conversation. What's trending? They're doing TikTok, YouTube, they're streaming this and that. And I'm just, oh, I'm overwhelmed. I feel in a good place with what I've learned on the platforms that I'm on, what music's trending, what reels are trending, who is trending. I feel I'm pretty relevant with my kids and I can keep up with the conversation. When we talk about reels that I've done, what I've learned in transitions and special effects and stuff like that, my kids are like, "Mom, you're pretty hip." I'm just like, "Wow, I'm able to keep up." It's not when something new comes, there's a new app and I can't figure out. My kids aren't here to help me. I have figured it out. I really want people to take away, don't be afraid. There is a YouTube for everything. If it's for plumbing, if it's for fixing your car, there is a YouTube for everything. Don't be afraid and don't feel you always have to call your kids and say, "Oh, when next time you come, you have to show me how to do this." You don't have to. It takes me forever to watch a tutorial. I have to watch it five, six times. A lot of them are so
Pause,
fast.
pause,
I
pause.
pause, replay. They're so fast like that. I wish if anyone's a YouTuber there, listen, slow it down. People are watching, but you're going so fast. But you can learn it by yourself and don't be afraid. And as we get older, it's important that we do learn new things. We talk about dementia. What's the best thing? Keep learning. Learn a new instrument, learn a new language, learn technology, but keep learning. And as long as you're doing that, you're going to be okay.
Well, and before I clicked record, we also talked that both of us are into AI now too, which creates a lot of fear amongst a lot of people. But, and you'll probably agree with me here, but for our listeners, it feels very cool when you're speaking with your kids about something and mine go, "Ooh, mama."
Yeah, they're like, "You know that?" And I'm going, "Yes, I do." I will tell you a funny story about my kids. If they go out to a team meeting or to a party or something, their icebreaker is saying, "Do you know what my mother does?" And they're like, "No." And then they're like, "She's a puzzle influencer." And they're like, "What?" Like, they're quite proud of me. And I'm like, "Oh my God, the turtle t tables have turned." And they always make me giggle.
Yeah. And I mean, what a good feeling to have the kids who always just thought of you as mom, suddenly they're really impressed with your abilities, or as you say, you're an
Yeah.
influencer. It's like, whoa,
Like
this
they
is so.
think, like honestly, when people think about an influencer, you have to be long, young, long hair, pretty. It's just like, I don't fit that mold. I don't. And so when they say that, they're like, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. And the other side of that coin is it just goes to show that whatever you're into, there's other people that are into it out
Yes.
there and they're probably looking for you.
Yeah.
So there you go. Okay, listeners, pay attention. Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
My platform go-to is Instagram, and I'm called Puzzled About Everything. And honestly, you just have to Google it. You'll find my website. You'll see all these different things that I've done. Again, the algorithm that Google, it will help you find me. All you have to remember is Puzzled About Everything, because I am.
Yeah, aren't we all? Okay, I'm just looking at your website here. I see Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Is that right? Okay.
See, now something we didn't talk about was YouTube and TikTok. I did try doing those platforms. I just didn't feel I resonated. I connected
Oh,
there,
okay.
and having those different platforms, it really became a lot of work. Like YouTube, you have to film things differently. That would mean rebuilding the puzzle and redoing the stop motion I did. And all of a sudden I said, "Hell no, I'm not doing that. Is it that that's too much work. That's not fun anymore." So Instagram is what I like. Find what you're comfortable with. Like, don't feel you have to be. I look at other puzzle influencers. They're on all these platforms. It's like, no, I don't have to do that. I'm happy with what I do. And just feel confident and comfortable in your own skin.
Good idea. Okay, may I ask you a personal question before we close?
How old I am? Nope.
No.
Go
You can
ahead.
you can use my phrase. I always say I'm 29.
Okay.
Outside of puzzles and projects, what's one small, ordinary moment in your day now that brings you unexpected joy? Something your younger self might have rushed right past.
Oh, and it's not about puzzling.
Outside of puzzles and projects.
I enjoy actually spending time with my husband. Like there was a point where we just got so busy. We'd be coming and going in different directions. Like you wouldn't see each other until you went to bed at night, right? And you were so exhausted. You talked for a little bit, but it was overwhelming. I really like my new lifestyle. We sold our house. We live downtown. We gave up our car. It's not that we can't drive. Everything is so walkable. I really love my lifestyle that I do, that we walk, we go to the Toronto Islands. We really spend time together and we chat. Like I'll segue back to puzzling. I'll make a reel and it looks great. And then I have to apply, you edit it and you have to apply music. I'll sit here with my husband and have a glass of wine and he'll applaud and go, "That was a really great reel you did. That's going to get a lot of views. That's really good." I go, "Help me with the music." And all of a sudden we're talking about different bands or concerts that we went to. I really like that we're spending time and we're talking.
It's funny, as I asked you that question, I was thinking that that was probably going to be your answer. And
Oh.
yeah, no, it's just it you've just taken a sort of an old institution, and now that you're back to just the two of you, you've revitalized it and you've probably recreated it, because that's probably not what you did when you were first, engaged and dating. You wouldn't sit around
No.
doing a puzzle. You'd, be more active or do something.
Yep.
But yeah. Great, great, great thought.
Yeah.
Okay, your website link is in the show notes. All the links are going to be on your page at our website. Listeners, are you a puzzler? I certainly am, which can be a problem as I try to get up from the table at 2 in the morning, exhausted, aching back. If that sounds at all familiar, drop a me too in the comments. I'd love to see it. If someone came to mind while you were listening, a friend, a sister, a partner, this might be a good episode to pass along. If this conversation resonated, you can follow the podcast on your favorite platform so you don't miss the ones that come next. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free. You'll get notified every time an episode is released. And have you checked out the resource tab at Boom with a Bang yet? Maybe there's something you want to see added there that's just all sorts of resources. Monica Marlatt, thank you for being my guest today and for showing us that curiosity and play don't retire when we do.
I love that closing statement. Thanks for having me. It's just been a pleasure.
I was so looking forward to this conversation. Have a great rest of week.